This is now the fourth in our studies on the basics of salvation. Today we wish to receive or understand what does one receive in salvation. We've seen man's need of salvation because man is lost. We've seen how God provides that salvation through means of Christ's death for our sins and his resurrection. We've seen that man must believe in what Jesus Christ has done, and that he can do nothing else to save himself but believe. He can't work. Now we wish to consider what happens when God saves an individual. What does God give to you? Two key works describe the application of salvation to the believer. The first is regeneration, meaning to conceive anew and bear anew. It refers to the new birth with its results. The second work is baptism, meaning to place into. This involves the believer's position in members of the Godhead. First, let's define regeneration. Regeneration is a work of the Holy Spirit, according to John 3, verses 3 and 5. A man needs to be born anew in order to see the kingdom of God, according to verse 3. This is not a physical rebirth. A man needs to be born anew in order to enter the kingdom of God, according to verse 5. Now, in this verse, we read that the words water and spirit, he needs to be born of water and spirit. And those two words refer to the same person, the same thing. This is seen in John 7, verses 37 and 39, in which water is a description of the Spirit. A man born from parents is flesh, according to John 3, 6. The birth from the Spirit involves man's spirit, also according to verse 6. The Spirit doesn't affect a man's body, but a man's spirit. Regeneration is a work of God. It is by mercy, not our works, that God regenerates us, according to Titus 3, 5. God does not save us by our righteous works. God saves us by his mercy. He saves us by a washing, which consists of, or which is, regeneration. God doesn't wash us with real water. This isn't talking about water baptism. But he causes us to be spiritually conceived anew and spiritually born anew. God saves us by a washing, which is a renewal. God doesn't wash us with real water, but he renews us. God saves us by this work of the Holy Spirit. Regeneration results in the believer becoming a child of God, according to John 1, verses 12 and 13. What are the results of regeneration or the new birth? Well, regeneration relates the believer to all three persons of the Godhead. Because of regeneration, the Spirit, that is the Holy Spirit, is in the believer. John 14, 17 states that Christ promised that the believer would be in us. Romans 8, 9 goes so far as to say that if one doesn't have the Spirit, he's not Christ's. The Son is also in the believer. According to 1 Corinthians 6, 17, the believer is united to the Lord. According to Colossians 1, 28, Christ is in the believer. We receive two benefits because Christ is in us. We have eternal life, as we find in 1 John 5:11, and we have the mind of the Lord, that is the Lord Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 2:16. Finally, the Father is in the believer, Ephesians 4:6. Now, some Bibles leave off the word you before the last all in Ephesians 4:6, but the you should be there. Ephesians 4:6 should read, "One God and Father, over all things, through all things, and in you all." See, God is everywhere, but he's only in believers in this special way. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 16 through 17, we find that God the Father promised us that he would indwell his people. And so we are sons and daughters. Therefore, God indwelling the believer causes the believer to be a child of God. God is not in unbelievers, and so they're not children of God. To be a child of God, one must be born from God, 1 John 5:1. And this is only true of those who believe in Jesus, that Jesus is the Christ, meaning he is the one who is raised from death. By God's great promises, the believer can share even in the divine nature, 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. The believer has the ability to share in common in God's kind of nature. He doesn't become God or even a God or a little God, but in a limited way, he shares in that nature because he has been born again or born anew, regenerated as a child of God. The results of regeneration make it possible for us to live the life God planned for us to live. We live by the ongoing work of the Spirit, using a new nature, energized by God's kind of life, while using Christ's kind of mind. The next work we wish to consider is the baptism from the Spirit. The baptism of the Spirit is not water baptism. What we will learn about this baptism of the Spirit should affect our understanding of water baptism. But first we need to define baptism, because in 2,000 years of church history, many ideas have been taught about baptism, and most of them are incorrect. Many of these ideas are cleared away if we have some biblical definitions. Baptism is frequently misunderstood because it is interpreted in light of experience and or our tradition. In fact, our English Bibles didn't even translate the word, but they used an English pronunciation which developed from Latin and Greek. Baptize means to put into, and it comes from the Greek word baptizo, to dip or to immerse. Baptize does not mean put in and take out. It doesn't mean pour or sprinkle. It means to put into something. The work of this baptism is done by the Holy Spirit. We read about this baptism in 1 Corinthians 1:13. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. The Spirit does not place the believer into water, because this is not water baptism. Did you see any water in there? No. Rather, the Spirit places the believer into one body, the body of Christ. The Spirit places the believer into Christ, according to Romans 6:3. This doesn't mean that the believer is placed into Christ's physical body. These passages mean that God the Father mentally counts or credits the believer to be in Christ. He looks at Jesus Christ, who is sitting at his right hand, and counts you and I to be in him. And when he does this, he counts to us some things which Jesus Christ did. Well, the Spirit places the believer into Christ's death, according to Romans 6:3. He places the believer into Christ's burial, according to Romans 6:4. And in Colossians 2:12, we find that the believer also is raised or resurrected with Christ by that Spirit baptism. This work of baptism involves imputation. Imputation is a big word we don't use very often in our modern everyday language. It is the act of logically counting something to be that is not or is not yet. According to Romans 4:17, God calls things that do not exist as though they do exist. That's imputation. Imputation is how God counts the believer to be placed into Christ. The believer is made God's kind of righteousness in Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:21. We then find in Romans 4:23 that the believer is counted or imputed righteous on the basis of faith. Do you see how it works? God logically in his mind counts you to be in Christ. You might wonder, why would God do this? Why does God logically count or impute me to be in Christ? The answer is that Jesus Christ has done everything necessary for your salvation. Jesus died on the cross, was buried, and rose again. He really experienced all of that. We can do nothing but believe. So God counts us to have participated in Christ's death, burial, resurrection. even though we didn't experience any of it. Now, that's what God calls grace, by the way. And grace is how God saves us. The scriptures even go further and tells us that we receive many benefits from God because God counts us to be in Christ. Some of those benefits are found in the following verses. We're going to read these verses, and I want you to think about how gracious God is to logically count or impute each of these to you in Christ. Ephesians 1:6 says that God has graced us in the beloved one, that's Jesus Christ. Ephesians 1:4 says God has made us holy and blameless in his sight in Christ. Ephesians 1:7 says God has provided us redemption. We saw that in our last study, the payment of sins through the blood of Christ in Christ, or actually in whom. Ephesians 1:7 also says that God has provided us the forgiveness of sins. It's part of redemption in Christ. Ephesians 2:6 tells us that God has raised us up together. That's resurrection in Christ. Ephesians 2:6 goes on and says God has seated, made us to sit down together in Christ. And Ephesians 2:13 says God has made us near to him in Christ. And you know, it's because I've been born anew, regenerated, that I have the mind of the Lord, that kind of mind, we saw that. Because I have that kind of mind, I can think about these things that God counts true of me. And I can appreciate more fully God's grace to me as part of my salvation.